Well, if you have your Bible and you'd like to join along, you're welcome to do that. There are some slides and some of the passages will be on the screen as well, but sometimes people like to follow along out of their own Bible, and you're welcome to do that. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9 is one of the passages, and then kind of the sequel or written a little bit differently to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. And while you're looking those up, if Jesus were to drive a car, do you know what kind it would be? A Chrysler, right? And of course, you know the favorite vegetable in the Bible, right? Lettuce. Like, let us pray and let us give thanks and let us humble ourselves and all of those things. And I think Gordon might know the answer to this, but what kind of man was Boaz before he got married? He was ruthless, right? So anybody who's ruthless. All right. We've been working on learning to be anxious for nothing. And are you anxious for nothing? And your response would be, no, I've got lots of good reasons for my anxieties. There's not for nothing that we struggle with that. And of course, Paul is challenging us to learn how to deal with our anxieties, how to deal with the stresses of our lives. And for the last few weeks, we've been talking about Paul's admonition to rejoice in the Lord always. And in his letter to the Thessalonians, he says it a little bit differently. It says in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, be joyful always. Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Be joyful always, pray continually. And yet there are times when rejoicing or being joyful are difficult. Last week on Monday, I learned that my good friend Jean in Scottsburg, she was kind of our kid's third grandmother, had lost her daughter last Sunday, just passed away suddenly, 64 years of age, about ready to retire and all kinds of plans, and just like that, gone. And how do you rejoice in the Lord at a time like that? Or when your job has gotten so stressful and it's made working so difficult that you finally say, well, God, you must have something else in mind, and maybe it's time to not do that anymore. Or the time when the doctor said cancer. Or when you prayed and you prayed and the answer didn't come and you wonder why. Or when you're stuck in that place in your life and you don't know which way to turn or whether you're just supposed to stay stuck. There are lots of times when it's not so easy to rejoice. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul is writing from prison, we think in Rome, but might have been in Ephesus. But he's writing to Philippi, where if you read the book of Acts, chapter 16, he was in prison there in Philippi. And in prison there in Philippi, he rejoiced. And so he somehow had the ability or the discipline to do that. But Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And that learning to put into practice is part of our challenge and part of our goal as we learn to be anxious for nothing. Rejoice in the Lord always has been our theme for the last 2 weeks and also for this week. Rejoice in the Lord because He is Lord was our first chapter. Because He is sovereign, He is Lord of lords, King of kings, He is the ruler and the master and the one who is over all, who created and who sustains. And we also talked last week about the rejoicing in the Lord's mercy and how so often we carry that burden of guilt or that heavy load of anxiety or worry. And sometimes we have that tendency as human beings just to get up in the morning and put that on because it's our responsibility or somehow we feel like it's our purpose to carry this heavy load. And the Lord says, you can rest. You can take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And so learning to understand and receive God's grace and mercy is a great blessing to learn to unload and unburden and to be anxious for nothing by rejoicing in God's mercies. And today, just thinking about what it means to rejoice in the Lord always. And sometimes it's easier to rejoice than others. There are blessings and good things and celebrations and things that we look forward to. And maybe it's spring break or maybe it's finally getting a day above 32 degrees and sunshine. But there are lots of things to celebrate, but sometimes it's difficult. Why are we instructed to rejoice in the Lord always? I think there's a difference between being joyful and rejoicing. If you read 1 Thessalonians 5:16 in the New International Version, it says, be joyful always. Well, be joyful always. Sometimes I'm not joyful. And there is sometimes that I have good reason not to be joyful. Sometimes life is hard. Sometimes I'm in pain. Sometimes I've been through a difficulty. I spoke with someone at the earlier service, and this week she had lost her nephew just suddenly. Just had found him in bed, and he had passed away, and that heartache. How do you be joyful? There's a difference between being joyful and rejoicing, and it may be a subtle difference. But you see, being joyful is kind of a feeling, and our feelings are just what they are. You can try to change your feeling. You can say, well, if I just put on a happy face, then I'll feel different, and maybe it'll work. But when you've lost someone or when it's a difficult time, then you sometimes need to deal with that. But rejoicing is an action. Rejoicing is something that we can do even when we don't always feel like it. We do lots of things that we don't feel like doing. Sometimes just getting out of bed in the morning is a difficult thing. People don't feel like it. Or to wear a mask, or to social distance, or to avoid those things that we love to do, ball games and social gatherings and eating and doing things together. There are lots of things that we do even though we don't want to. And even in 1 Thessalonians 5, I think Paul's admonition is not so much the feeling as the action, because not only does he say, be joyful always, but he says, pray, and he tells us to act in joyful ways, to give thanks in all circumstances. And so why is rejoicing necessary? Why can't I just wallow in my grief and my loss and my heartache and my misery? Why not just crawl in a hole and be left alone? And And there are times that we need to grieve and times that we need to let grief do its work and to ignore that and to somehow pass that off as something that we can just ignore and it'll go away. It doesn't. And our grief so often comes back to haunt us if we don't deal with it in good ways. But heartaches don't go away just because we put on a happy face. There are hard things, and Jesus knew that, and Paul knew that. But then he says, rejoice. Why? Because when heartaches come and difficult things come, so do the big questions of life, like why is God letting me go through this? Or did I do something wrong that caused my loved one to suffer? Or why is it that these things keep happening? Or why is it that my prayer didn't get answered? And there are those difficult questions that are kind of life questions. And there are some who will give you an answer, like the deists, those who believe that God, you know, created and then he set this universe into motion and then he backed away and just kind of left it go. And it's like that clock. It just keeps going. You don't do anything. It just keeps going. And God really isn't involved in anything. That's what some would say. He just lets it go and lets it take its course. There are some in our world, in our social circles that are pantheists. They believe that God is in everything. He's in nature. And so he might be God over these things and over the trees and the flowers and the day and the beauty, but he doesn't really take care of human things. He's just what we go back to eventually somewhere. And that kind of pantheistic philosophy is rampant in our world that doesn't really understand and know God. And of course, there are the atheists who just say there is no God. It just happened. Somehow it just happened. And if you're lucky, then you're lucky. And if you're not, well, it's not anybody's fault. There's no God, they say. But we believe in God. We believe that he is sovereign, that he is Lord over all. And we believe that he is a God of mercy and grace. And yet those hard things come and we don't always understand why. I believe that God has a plan and he has a purpose for each one of us. He doesn't cause the suffering, I don't think. There's an enemy at work in our midst as well who causes the suffering, and yet God can use the suffering and the hard things to grow us and to change us and to make us who he wants us to be. And maybe we don't always understand why. Maybe we can't answer that. I don't know if there are answers, if they come someday when I meet him face to face and I ask him why, I may get an answer. But then again, maybe when I'm gathered in God's kingdom with all of those loved ones, all the why questions won't really matter anyway, because it'll be a different place, a different time. Paul is trying to teach believers in Jesus some practical ways to deal with our hard questions and our uncertainties, ways that we can act out our faith that are helpful and uplifting. And so he says it's a choice to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Our faith in Jesus makes a difference, an eternal difference, an eternal heavenly difference. But it also helps us here now in this life. Rejoicing and being thankful and looking for God's plan and purpose in our hard times, trusting in when we can't see the purpose or the plan, but knowing that he is good and that he is over all, that he has a plan, is helpful. It has benefits because rejoicing helps us cope. It helps us see a bigger picture. Sometimes when you look at that little pinhole and you see what's there, you can see a little bit. But when you open the door, you see a bigger picture. When you're looking at things in our own human perspective, we see certain things and we feel them and they hurt or they change us or they challenge us. But somehow as we're able to look a little bit farther and we look at things through a spiritual lens and we begin to discover that our heartaches and our trials are not just random and that they are not just purposeless, but God can work and change us. As painful as trying times can be, God does have a bigger plan. And whether we like the plan, whether we understand the plan, sometimes we look back and we say, well, yeah, I saw God at work in there. And in that tough time, there were people there that God provided to be there to help me to listen. God answered prayers. And so rejoicing in the Lord always, even in those times, are part of God's solution, not to take away the pain or the hurt, but to draw us closer to Him. A few weeks ago, I spent an overnight with my grandchildren. My mother has a little lake cottage, and we went up there and spent the night. And I have to separate them, or they don't ever go to sleep. You know how that is. But Lydia decided she was going to sleep on the couch out there in this little cabin has a new furnace, but it is loud. And so as she was sleeping on the couch, it kept kicking on. And then it'd warm up the house, and then it'd kick off, and then it'd turn on again. And little by little, she just got annoyed. I can't go to sleep with that thing running. And yet, if you turn it off, it gets cold. So what do I do? And it reminded me, of course, of Lydia's mother, who used to visit my parents. And there in Lafayette, they had this mantle clock that went off every 15 minutes. And so she had trouble going to sleep at night at grandparents' house. Well, somehow the result is that when you're awake at night and you can't sleep, and you go to some adult and say, what can I do? How can I go to sleep? And I could explain, well, the furnace is going to come on, it's going to keep going, and then it's going to kick off, and then it's going to go on again. Or the children come and say, it's thunder and lightning, or I heard a noise, or what if there's a monster in the closet? And somehow there are those challenges that we face, whether they're little ones or big ones. You can explain it away, but what you really need is just a person. What you really need is a grandfather's lap to sit on, or a person to come alongside and say, I know you hurt, and I know this is a tough time, and there's not anything I can do to change that, but I want you to know that I care. And I think God wants us to know that He cares. I believe that the rejoicing is just a way that we get close to Him and we draw near to Him and we sense His presence. How do we rejoice in the Lord? Well, there are lots of ways. He needs to be Lord of our life, first of all. We need to listen to Him and have Him involved in our life, invite Him to be in our lives. But singing and making a joyful noise is one of those ways. The songs and the hymns and the spiritual songs. Maybe you're a singer or somebody who can hum a little tune as you go through the day, or maybe you listen to music on your headphones and that encourages. Maybe you're not a singer. And maybe you're one of those who can instead look for five things that you're thankful for, like a sunshine, or the birds outside my window, or the drive to town wasn't as icy and cold as it was yesterday, or maybe it's the opportunity just to be together. There are ways that we can just stop and count our blessings. And that's one of the ways that I like to rejoice in the Lord. And maybe you can rejoice by taking a walk outdoors. And yesterday morning it was bitter cold, but the frost that had frozen on the branches and those sparkly gems just were gorgeous. And if you looked at those and you could see that, what an amazing sight. Somehow the rocks and the hills rejoice. Jesus said, even if my disciples are quiet, the rocks will cry out. And sometimes you can see and rejoice in the beauty of nature. There's a sanctuary that's often open during the day, and you're welcome to come and just pray or be silent. And I've been here a lot of times just and be alone, but I can sense the presence of God. Or maybe as you think back of one of those recent challenges, one of those worries or losses or heartaches, and then you remember how God was there. Who was that person with you when that loved one passed away? Or who was that person who brought you food? Or who was that person that listened to you when your heart was heavy? Or how many times did that person who was your friend call you and just check up on you? There are times that we can rejoice in the Lord just by talking to Him and saying, Lord, I don't know what You're doing. I don't understand what the purpose of this battle is. Don't know why I'm in this prison or this situation, but today I'm choosing to rejoice in You. I'm trusting that You're sovereign over all. I'm trusting that You are merciful and gracious, and that there is some reason, that there is a bigger picture. And Lord, I'm just going to be obedient and rejoice in You because You are Lord. I read a little article from Reverend John and Patty Chapel. They have a website called www.laughcry.org. And they recommend this. When you're feeling discouraged and have hurts that need healing, just close your eyes and force yourself to raise up your head and begin praising the Lord in a prayer of some sort. Then, after you've done that, begin saying, hee hee, ha ha, ho ho. Hee hee, ha ha, ho ho. Hee hee, ha ha, ho ho. If you do that very many times, you find that the corners of your mouth start to go up, and maybe you feel kind of foolish. Maybe you feel like, this is dumb. Why am I doing this? And yet, somewhere in 1 Corinthians, it says the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. Somehow God uses simple things and foolish things to work in us. Well, foolish laughter may be inappropriate at some time, but there are other times that it might just be the best thing to do. I believe that one of the best ways for us to be anxious for nothing is to learn to rejoice in the Lord, even when it's not so easy. If there's some way that you can do that works for you best, then rejoice in the Lord. He is Lord, and He's merciful. And He tells us in His Word, be anxious for nothing. Well, it's not like I don't have reasons to be anxious, but I also have reasons to rejoice. I have reasons to trust in the Lord, and I have reasons for acting in faith on what the Bible says, and not so much on how I feel. And so rejoice in the Lord always. That's the challenge for you this week. When the frustration comes, when the traffic jam or the computer has crashed, or whatever it might be that's kind of made you frustrated, when you've had that heartache, or when you've blown it again, and you stand before God and say, here I am again, I did what I didn't want to do, the admonition is rejoice in the Lord always. And so sing a song or pray a prayer or begin to count your blessings or look at what God is creating out there in the beauty of His nature. Shall we pray together? Teach us, our Heavenly Father, to rejoice, but also, Lord, You have taught us to do that. We just need some incentive. We need some choosing. We need some self-discipline to actually do that. And so, Lord, that's our challenge for the week. Remind us in those tough times, in those tough situations, in those times that things are unpleasant, remind us, Lord, through the prompting of Your Holy Spirit to stop and to say thank You and to stop and rejoice and to learn, Lord, to be joyful in an active way. We may not feel it, Lord, but we can still begin to change our attitude and our minds. We can begin to draw nearer to You. Thank You, Lord, that we can do that. And help us as we do to sense Your presence and to sense Your Spirit and to sense the strength that You give us. And so we praise You and we thank You, Lord, for this encouragement You give us in Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.